Have you ever wondered, your life, my life, is just like a storybook, isn't it? Every chapter, a story. There's a story behind every face, every human being. There is a reason why we are the way we are.
We are all equal, even though we are all different. We are all the same, yet we are never quite the same.
Your life is an open book, full of blank pages. You write your story as you go along. Suppose 1 year of my life is a chapter, I would have 42 in my book.
There is no greater agony than burying an untold story inside you. So tell us your story. Set yourself free.
We laugh. We cry. We stand. We stumble. We fail. We succeed. Everyone has a story they haven't shared, a past no one has heard.
Just as there are two sides to every story, there are also two sides to every face. One that we reveal to the world, and the other hidden.
Our lives are a collection of stories, truths about who we are, where we have come from, what we believe, our happiness, our sorrows, and how we struggle to stay alive.
Your book carries different chapter of your life. One bad chapter doesn't mean it's the end of the book.
You may know my name, but that doesn't mean you know my story.
Your story is unique and different. So is mine. Let's not compare, shall we?
It is not how good or how long your story is. What matters most is how it would finally end. Hi, my name is Adrian.
I'm Yitzin.
Call me Grace.
Mine's Diana.
Nancy.
These are our stories.
Our hidden stories.
When I was a kid, I loved watching superheroes. Captain America was my favorite, and still is. To many a kid, their dad is often their superhero. Not me. Mine isn't. He is not someone I would look up to. You see, my dad was a gambler. A compulsive gambler. He just had to place bets in every race every match. And he could not say no to Mahjong, 4D, or any card games for that matter. He started borrowing money, and very soon, debtors came knocking on our door. I was barely 9 years old when my parents got divorced. The father I once knew gradually became unfamiliar.
It's sad when someone you know and love becomes a stranger. Once, I had a classmate. We were the best of friends. We shared everything. Our joy, our sorrows, heartaches, little successes, failures. Over time, our friendship became far too familiar. We soon took each other for granted. Then one day, we had a big fight. It was never resolved, and we never spoke to each other again. We were friends for 30 years. 30 years.
Someone said that every relationship must have an argument just to see how stable it really is. I wonder how much of that is true. Since young, I would watch my parents argue and fight, not with pillows, but with harsh words and sometimes knives. It became so frequent, the moment there is silence, I know full well a storm is coming. I wondered, why can't I have a loving home, just like the others?
The greatest battles are often fought within the silent chambers of your soul. In this journey of my life, this is perhaps the most difficult trial I have had to walk through. I have cancer, stage 4 cancer. There is no stage 5.
My mom told me I was bubbly and talkative when I was little. But all that changed soon after I turned 8. I became silent, melancholic, and withdrawn. Right after I was sexually molested by a stranger in the park one afternoon. I did not even breathe a word to anyone because I felt so ashamed. All I wanted to do was to hide in carton boxes, under the bed, in dark places. I guess it was there that I felt safe.
After my parents' divorce, I continued to keep in touch with my dad. He mended his ways, remarried, and eventually, I saw less and less of him. Today, I am married and have children of my own. Yet somewhere deep down, there is still this little boy longing for his father. It is as if there is this void inside, screaming to be filled.
I think the hardest part of losing someone is to face the vacuum that's left inside. It hurt when I first realized that my best friend and I were slowly drifting apart. It felt worse when there was nothing I could do to fix it. Eventually, I stopped trying and accepted the fact that my friendship with my best friend is over. I never could have imagined things to turn out this way.
Family is supposed to be a safe haven. But for me, it is where I experienced my deepest heartaches. Having to live up to my parents' ideals made it worse. Sometimes I just wish there is an escape button I could push so that I would vanish forever. I didn't want to be tormented by arguments and fights. I didn't want to be crushed beneath the weight of expectations. In fact, I wished I was never born.
I remember very clearly. It was the year 2014, 2 days before Christmas. I discovered a lump the size of a ping pong ball on my collarbone. The biopsy showed malignant cells, and I needed surgery to have the lump removed for further testing. That was when the doctors discovered streaks of cancer on my breast. Chemotherapy sessions and a mastectomy soon followed. My life changed drastically overnight.
That encounter I had at the park was not my last. There were other violators too. That old man at the bread store, the stranger at the walkway, that bearded man on the bus, and I hated my femininity. I wished I was born male to numb my pain. I soon became a party animal. Drink, dance, smoke, for all I care. All I wanted was to push those thoughts aside and be happy. Well, let's pretend to be happy. Not long after, I got myself involved in a relationship with a married man, which lasted 6 years.
Despite all that had happened, I do miss my father very much. Perhaps that is why I am often plagued by feelings of loneliness, neglect, and abandonment. I often wonder what it would be like if our paths were to cross again. Relatives tell me that my dad is now a taxi driver. I have tried to locate him, but to no avail. But really, what do I say to him if I were to see him? Will there be an awkward silence? Or can we just pick up from where we left off?
It takes years to build a friendship, seconds to destroy it, and forever to repair. The basis of friendship is a mutual give and take. What happens when you are constantly the giver? You end up feeling tired and disappointed. Still, you hold on to the friendship because you truly, truly value the person.
Be good. Be bold. Be obedient. Be hardworking. Be smart. Be strong. What if I'm not all of these? What if I'm timid, shy, clumsy, weak? What if I get all the thumbs down? Will you still love me? Today, I have a wonderful husband and two lovely children. But I'm constantly haunted by these words. You are not good enough, and you never will be.
Some months after the breast surgery, I found out that the cancer had spread to my spine and was chewing up my column. I underwent an 8-hour surgery, lost much blood, and had to do a transfusion. I ended up with 10 screws and 4 rods inside of me. It never rains, but it pours. 5 months later, the cancer found its way to my brain, and I needed immediate radiation. Then one Friday, one dark, dark Friday, I experienced double vision. I couldn't articulate the things I wanted to say. I couldn't recognize the faces around me. The doctors told my family to be prepared because death was knocking on my door. I had to come to face the brutal reality that I'm, after all, mortal.
We all have scars. We all walk with a limb. We are all stories. Only we can determine how they will finally end.
Deepest cry with me in the dark. with me at the dawn. In your everlasting arms, all the pieces of my life, from beginning to the end, I can trust you. In your never failing love, you work everything for good. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. Sovereign in the mountain air, sovereign on the ocean floor, with me in the calm, with me in the storm. Sovereign in my greatest joy, sovereign in my deepest cry, with me in the dark, with me at the dawn. In your everlasting arms, all the pieces of my life, from beginning to the end, I can trust you. In your never failing love, you work everything for good. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you.
It's not something you go out and look for. Love finds you. And when it does, it will be the best thing that will happen to you. One Sunday, I found myself walking into this quaint little church in Prince Charles Crescent. As I sat quietly on the wooden pew, I couldn't help it. But tears kept rolling down my eyes. You see, all along, what those men wanted was to take from me. But this God, this Jesus whom I hardly know, gave up his life so that I could be free. Wow. I remember walking to the front of the church and I cried, God, I am so carnal. I am not clean. Would you still want me? He didn't say a single word. But all I could feel was his arms around me, embracing me with his love, grace and mercy. I was so overwhelmed. I wept like a baby. That morning, that Sunday morning, love, God's love, finally found me.
Friends and family thought that Dark Friday will be the last they see of me. But as you can tell, I'm not dead. But the battle is not over. I am undergoing weekly chemotherapy to sustain my life. I am tired. I long for the day I can be declared cancer-free. How many more weeks, months, or years do I have? I have no idea. But think about it. Wouldn't death claim us all someday? The fact that I'm alive, I'm still alive today, is a miracle. It makes me appreciate every single moment of my life.
I believe we all have a guardian angel in our lives. Someone whom we need to be that light in our darkness, to give us that extra strength to walk the journey. My guardian angel is my aunt, whom I lovingly call Anyang. Through her, I saw the unconditional love of God. I learned that I don't need to be perfect to earn God's approval. God extended his hand of love to me. In him, I found new life. My name is Grace, because of God's amazing grace.
It took me quite a while to finally make sense of what friendship really is. I realized that in life, we all lose friends. We lose them over to death, distance, and time. While friendships may be lost, hope is not. I know I cannot change the past, but I can start changing what's going on inside me. I have to let go of what I cannot change and focus on the things that I can.
I guess you can only truly understand what it means to be a father when you yourself become one. In my strife to be the best father to my children, I often push myself way too hard and end up exhausted. While I try not to be like my father, I do realize that like him, I am imperfect in so many ways. I do have my flaws. I do walk with a limp. All of us are broken one way or another. So who am I to judge him?
My heart went back and forth like a tug of war. Soon after I gave my life to God, I was torn between two lovers, God and my flesh. I had to choose. to let go of the man I love, or let go of the God who truly loves me, to continue to live in darkness, or choose to walk in the light, to indulge in my carnal pleasures, or take the road of obedience and sacrifice. Jesus didn't regret dying for me. Till today, I have no regrets following him.
In this journey, I saw and experienced many things. I saw the faithfulness of God to me when I entrusted my life to him completely. I experienced the love and relentless support of friends and family. I felt the power, the miraculous power of prayers over me. Through it all, I've learned to rest in God. Rest is a good thing. You let go. You lay down. You stop striving. You surrender. You let God take over.
In God's garden of grace, even a dead tree can bear fruit. God not only transformed me, but my family too. My parents stayed together and later found their faith in God. Well, they still fought occasionally, till my father passed on a few years ago. But what I saw in them was this renewal of love and commitment to each other. I am forever grateful to God for giving us new life. Hope has come. Flowers have started to bloom. Spring is finally here.
Friendships come in many different forms. Some friends stay for a reason. Others for a season. Yet, there are a special few who remain with us for a lifetime. Every experience God gives, every person he brings into our lives, God is molding and shaping us for a future only he can see. God gives. God takes away. While friendship with my best friend fades, new ones are sprouted in my life instead.
In all honesty, as I think back on my childhood, I often wonder what it would be like if my father was not a gambler. What a family it would have been if my parents were not divorced. Growing up, I often blamed my father for not being there for me when I needed him. I grew bitter towards him for breaking up the family. This was all until one day God spoke to me. And I began to understand that while my father, my earthly father, may not be perfect, my heavenly father is. This is hard truth. And it is this one bullet I have to bite. God is my ultimate father. There is no one like him. No one. He loves me. He is committed to me. And he will never, ever walk out on me. Now all that remains for me to do is to sink this truth in from my head to my heart.
There is no darkness so dense that it cannot be overcome by light. There is no life so messed up that God cannot restore. I do not hide my scars. I wear them as proof that my God heals.
Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Because the moment you are ready to quit, it's often the moment just before a miracle happens.
Our pains in this life is producing in us an eternal glory that is beyond what we can ever comprehend.
Let go. Let God. Forgive and move on. You can't start the next chapter of your life if you keep rereading the last one.
You know something? Your best stories often come from your greatest struggles. But my friends, hang in there. Storms will pass. Seasons will change.
Every story has an end. But in life, every end is a new beginning.
Each day is a gift. Lay hold of it. Make it count.
You are never too broken for God to use your story.
Let God be the author of your life. Only He knows best how your story will end.
Will you let God write your story?
We want to thank, of course, Adrian, Nancy, Tim, Grace, and Diana for their stories. What we have heard are some select chapters from their real life stories. These are their real life stories. And yet I know in a gathering like this morning, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, that every single one of you who have come here have come with your own stories as well. You see, every single one of us, we have a different story, a unique story. And our stories come with our own twists and turns in our plot, like some Korean drama, right? It is our highs and our lows. We have our specific challenges, and maybe even this very morning that you're here, there are particular struggles that you're facing, and sometimes feeling like you're facing it alone. So all of us, we have our own unique stories. Like them, our stories are also works in progress. We are still looking for the words and the sentences to write down the next bit of our unfolding story in our lives. And yet, at the same time, all of our stories, as different as they may be, they tend to share some common thread. In some ways, all of us in the human race, we are looking for the same thing. And life can sometimes seem like this long, unending trudge through a soggy valley, a long journey and a struggle that is occasionally punctuated by mountain peaks of good things, of joy, of victories, of love, of success, of peace, of security. And the thrill of those peaks keep us going between the long journeys in between the mountains, right? It keeps us going day after day after day. And yet, these peaks themselves, we know them to be all too fleeting. They are few and far in between, if you're honest about it. And all too soon, we descend from those peaks back into those same old valleys. We put one foot in front of the other, journeying through in the hope that we may find and discover something more permanent, something more lasting, something better for our lives. In actuality, what we are all trying to do is we are all trying to write that fairy tale ending for all our stories, isn't it? If you are a woman, maybe it might be, you know, some prince charming and a white horse coming and sweeping you off your feet. If you are a guy, maybe a beautiful princess come and kiss you and you become from a frog to a prince, right? I mean, this is what all of us want to do. And so what do? We go through life. We traverse every highway. We venture down different roads into every byways and paths in search of that missing ingredient that we hope can perhaps give us what we are looking for. We try material possession, success, status. We look for significance in relationships, in friendships, in companionship. We look for love. We look for all these things, seeking perfect peace and perfect bliss. You know, as a human race, we've been doing this thing for a really, really, really long time, right? We've been running this race for an awfully long time. And for as long as we've done it, it will appear that every road that we have tried eventually and invariably lead us back to the same old place. We all have a beginning. But somehow or other, in spite of the 7 billion people on the face of this earth today, we all have a pretty much the same ending. And because of that, it's kind of depressing. It makes everything that goes on between the two bookends of our life, the beginning and the ending, it makes it somewhat diminished, right? It doesn't matter what you do because you will eventually end up kind of in the same place. It diminishes everything that we do. It takes meaning and purpose out of our existence. We feel like we cannot change our story. We cannot alter the inevitable outcome. And when we find all this a little bit too hard to bear, as it sometimes can get, and the struggle gets a little bit too difficult, you know what we do? Here's what we as humans do. We distract ourselves, right? We turn up the volume. We do stuff that will keep us from thinking about our plight and our predicament. We try and drown our emptiness altogether in the various things that we do day to day, hoping that maybe if we do that, somehow the end would never come. But that doesn't work, does it? And this is the reason why, after hearing the 5 stories this morning, and in spite of the countless stories that each and every one of you can tell in your very own lives that you are writing, there is one more story that I must tell you this morning. The 6th story, right? I know it's called 5 stories, but really, there's a 6th story. It turns out that this 6th story is probably the most important story that any one of us could ever hear. You see, some 2,000 years ago, there was a man who lived on the face of this planet. And he walked down the same road that you and I went down. Traveled the same journey, the same paths. He had the same ups and downs. Experienced the same pain and joys that you and I experienced. Now his ending was particularly bad. You see, he got crucified on a cross on a hill called Calvary. Because he claimed to be God who loved you and me. In fact, he insisted that your life and my life were far more valuable than any one of us imagined. That we had far more potential than any one of us realized. He insisted that we were worth dying for. And so on that Friday, some 2,000 years ago, he went up on the cross and he died like every other human being who had ever lived before him. Up to that point, his life story is kind of like our story, had a beginning and had an end. But you see, it would seem that death had put a full stop, a period at the end of the last sentence to close the chapter on his life. But this is where his story takes a crucial difference. This is where his story is different from every other story. Because unlike every other story that had gone on before, or every other story that will come thereafter, his story did not end there. On Sunday morning, just like this Sunday morning, his grave, his tomb was empty. This Jesus somehow
had found a way to rewrite the ending of his story. That full stop that death put there turned out to be a comma. Turned out to be an apostrophe. The miracle of this resurrection wasn't simply in the fact that a man returned from the dead, or the fact that victory over death had been gained. But the greatest miracle of all is that his story now has the power to change every other story, including your story and my story. Whatever full stops that you've hit in your life that you think is the dead end, his story, the story of the resurrection, has the power to turn that full stop into a comma, into a new beginning, as it were. You know what this means? This is good news. This means that all roads do not ultimately lead to the same place. They do not converge in that terminal ending that we have come to accept. All roads do not go back to the same place. And because of that also, our every struggle and challenge in our life, our every mountain that we find we have to scale, they suddenly gain new meaning. They are no longer just the twiddling of thumbs to pass time between one mountain to the other until we finally meet our terminal ending. Rather, the very struggles that you and I face today suddenly gain significance because they represent steps that we take towards a new ending. Your life and my life are no longer just that, but they become part of a much larger narrative. They are joined into the divine story of God's love for you and for me. But the thing is this though. You see, all of us are still responsible for writing those stories, right? In spite of this power, this resurrection power that's now available. And I believe that this morning as you're seated here, maybe for some of you, God is touching you in a very special way in your heart through the stories that you heard. You know that God is speaking to you, all right? And you say, Pastor, how do I know? Well, look, you just know. You know, some people say, Mom, how do I know that this is the guy I should marry? And the mother will say, you just know. Okay, this is like that. You just know. If God is speaking to you, you will know, right? But the thing is this, you are still the one who's penning down your story. And the way you can change the ending is by the choices that you make concerning the paths that you will take. In the past, previously, probably didn't matter a whole lot which path you took. If indeed all roads lead back to the same place, then take the most fun one, right? Take the easiest one. Take the one that gives you the greatest kick. But now, it turns out that the choices are vitally important. Because they do not lead back to the same place. We now have a possibility of a different and a good, in fact, a God's ending. Robert Frost, the famous American poet, once wrote a poem known as The Road Not Taken. In the final passage of his poem, he says something like this. He says, you know, I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverge in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. Our choices make a difference. Friends, I believe that, you know, wherever it is that you're in your journey today, I want to tell you this because this is so important. We have found something. We feel that you can't go through your life without knowing this amazing thing that we have discovered. Whatever it is that you're facing today, there is one story that can transform your story like no other story can. And that is the story of Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you're willing to put your faith in Him, you're willing to tell God, you know, I'm willing to try out this road. Because I've tried everything else. You know, someone once said this. He says, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and kind of hoping for a different outcome. Right? We know this really well. But our life is a little bit insane, isn't it, by that definition? Because we wake up and we do the same thing over and over again and we sink into the same pit of despair over and over again. And yet, we repeat ourselves. Friends, if you want something that you've never done before, had before in your life, you have to do something you've never done before. And I suggest to you, that is to take the hand of God and allow Him to lead you in this road of faith to a new and a different and better ending. If every other road that you have explored until now whether it's the road of companionship, material success, security, of amusement, whatever it is that you might have tried. If every road has left you somewhat empty, despondent, and without much hope, then you are perhaps at the right place today. We are at the proverbial fork in the road. And where the road diverges in this wood, there exists an opportunity and a possibility for a change to take place. We've heard those stories. These stories were people who were driven to forks in the road. And at that fork of the road, they discovered that they've drawn from many different wells, looking for water, but always coming up empty. But now, they've drawn from the well of faith. And in it, they've discovered a fountain of life and a wellspring of joy. That can be you. In fact, the reason why we're telling you all this is we hope that that is you. You can stand and you can look. Eventually, you have to choose. So today, I want to invite you to explore this road, to discover God's wonderful plan for you, to discover His love for you and the value of your life. If this is you today, you're that wearied traveler, the sojourner on a long journey, wondering if you ever find the rainbow's end. If your heart is weighed down in resignation, in disappointment, and if you honestly do not know where else to turn, I want to ask you to give God a chance to show you a better way. We have nothing to lose in this lonely world of ours, do we? And we have got everything to gain by opening this door. You know, sometimes you see a bunch of people swimming in a pool and you're wondering to yourself why they're not drowning. In fact, they're actually laughing. You can think about it and talk about it all you want. But some things you never know in life until you jump in and experience it for yourself. So today is your moment. If this is you and you're willing to give God a chance to do that thing in your life that you've never been able to find through your own efforts, you want to venture down this road, then what I'm going to do is I want to help you today to take that very step. Okay? So this is what I'm going to do. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask everyone to close your eyes. Okay? Don't do it now, because every time I say this, people close their eyes. Okay? In a few minutes, I will ask everyone to close your eyes. And when I do, I'm going to count to three. Now, what do you think about this? If this is you this morning, you've never given God a chance in your life, or maybe you've drifted far away from Him. If this is you this morning, say, Pastor, I feel God is touching my heart and calling me back to Him. Then I'm going to count to three. At the very count of three, you've never given your life to Jesus before, but today you want to do it. I want you to put your hands up as high as you can, okay? Not yet, but when I count to three. All right? If that's you, I want you to get your heart ready now, okay? Now I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes. Okay, everyone close your eyes. No one looking around, no one walking around. This is a sacred moment, okay? Don't look around. This is just for every single individual with God standing at a fork of the road. I'm going to count now. You know, if God has touched your heart, you know it, then get your hand ready. All right? If that's you, you have drifted far away from God today, you're coming back to Him. If that's you, you get your hands ready. One, two, this is my final count. This is your moment. Are you ready? Okay, three. No one looking around, put your hands up. I see that hand. Yes. I see that. No one looking around. Just put those hands up as high as you can, upstairs or downstairs. I see those hands all the way to the back. Is there anyone else? You're saying to God, God, if you're really out there, help me today. Show me a better way. Is that you? Anyone else? Let's just keep those hands up for a minute. All the way back there. Yes, I see it. On the left, I see those hands as well, all the way to the back. 10 more seconds. Anyone else, if that's just you? Yes, I see the hand. Father, well, thank you for every single person who's now turning to you and saying, yes, God, if you're really out there, I need a miracle in my life today. I need a miracle of breakthrough. I need a miracle of resurrection proportions, Lord, in my life. Father, would you come into my life and turn the full stops in my life into commas. Commas that lead into a new chapter of my life. For every single one of us here today who's giving you a chance, Father, I pray, would you enter into their life this very minute, this very moment, Lord, And you, will you begin to turn the page to a brand new page and write a brand new story in their lives? Every single one of them here, Lord. You see all these hands, God. Will you come into their lives? Turn them from darkness to light. Lead them out of the chains of sin into the freedom and salvation that you have for each and every one of them. And Lord, may they know that it is you who have done it. More than what any church or any man can do. God, will you yourself perform a miracle in their lives so that they will know that you have done it. We ask and pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. You can put your hands down. Why don't we put our hands together? Just encourage all those people, you know. I don't know if you believe in miracles, but this is really the greatest miracle of all. The beginning of a miracle, alright? Now I'm going to ask everybody to stand because I have one more thing I want you to do for me, alright? Shall we all stand up? Okay, we're going to sing a lovely song. I love this song. I hope that many of you, you probably know this song, but I hope you like it too. But here's the thing. When we sing this song, I'm going to ask, if you lift up your hands just now, would you come forward? Okay, because our pastors would like to meet with you. Our pastors are also up here. We'd like to meet with you and get some information from you, get to know you a little bit better, and maybe pray with you, alright? So if you are someone who lifted up your hands, and just now, just make your way out, come up to the front even as we sing this song. Now, some of you say, but Pastor, I didn't lift up my hands, but I want to respond to God. Can I come up? Okay, you come up also, alright? We'll wait for you. Some of you will say, Pastor, many years ago, 25 years ago, I lifted up my hands, have since walked away from God. If that's you, you come up. You know God is calling you, all right? Let's just sing the song, and this is your moment. Just make your, don't be shy. If you know a friend of yours need to come up, just take them by hand and come up, all right? Let's sing the song.
Many nights we prayed, with no room anyone could hear. In our hearts, a hopeful soul. We barely understood.
People are coming forward. Just make your way out, right?
We are not afraid. Although
don't be shy.
We know there's much to fear. We were moving mountains long before we knew we could.
If you're upstairs, we have people as well. Just come up to the front.
There
right.
can be miracles when you believe. Though hope is frail. It's hard to kill. Who knows what miracles you can achieve when you believe? Somehow you will. You will when you believe.
We'll sing it one more time. Okay, you just keep coming out. Your pastors are waiting for you. I'm patient with you, right?
Many nights we prayed, with no proof anyone could hear. In our hearts a hopeful song, we barely understood. Now we are not afraid, although we know there's much to fear. We were moving mountains long before we
a step of faith, you know. Why don't we put our hands one more time just to, you know, encourage all these people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wonderful miracle of life that you're giving this morning. not just a miracle 2,000 years ago, but a miracle right now in 2017, Lord, the beginning of new life. So Father, we pray for every single one of us here who are saying yes to you. Father, I pray that this beginning will continue, Lord. They will go down this journey, turning page after page of new miracles that you are working in their lives, that they will become the persons that you want them to be, Lord. So Father, we commit every one of them to you, and we bless you and we bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. God bless all of you. The pastors will talk to you a bit more, okay? They'll lead you and they guide you even as we continue in the service, right? Now as they are making their way out, I just want to quickly say something. Don't leave yet, okay? We have a closing song. I want to say something, okay? You know, this morning as we celebrate, out in the Middle East, there are many people who are struggling to celebrate this same day, right? I mean, in Egypt, the bombs had gone off. So I want you to keep them in prayer, keep them in your minds, even as we celebrate this Resurrection Day. Amen? Amen? Now, we also want to thank and invite all the cast, all the different ones. Shall we put our hands together to welcome all the different people? Okay. Nancy, who wrote the story for us, it seemed. Diana, who's still fighting the good fight. Adrian and Grace. Of course, all those people at the back there. John Hams, who have kind of overseen all these things. I don't know if I miss anyone else. Everyone is serving in one way. You know, well, thank them, but we want to give God the glory. Amen. Amen. Eunice.
Amen. Come on, let's celebrate. Jesus.
Jesus is alive. Death is lost in victory, and the grave has been denied. But Jesus lives forever. He's
we say he is risen, you say the Lord is risen indeed. Alright? He is risen. God is risen indeed. Indeed, he is risen. God bless all of you. Service is over. I'll see you back next week. May you have a wonderful weekend. Alright? God love you.
Trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.